Chapter 8.
The scientist said what? How dare he talk to you that way? Where is he? Oh, let me at him. Let me at him. I'll rip him to shreds. I'll tear out his eyeballs and wear them around my neck like a pearl necklace.
My women crowded around me in my laboratory. AB floated in his cleansing tank and occasionally turned to face all of us. Ryan leaned against the counters across the room, her red-tinted arms held over her chest and her sharp yellow eyes hard on my face. Valerie sat perched on the edge of the porcelain examination table, held her tensed claws out in front of her, and pretended to attack an unseen person. Daisy was the only one who seemed relatively calm. The brunette sat on a spare stool, her legs crossed and her dainty hands held tightly in her lap. Never mind his insults. I'm more interested in his new project. He didn't give me the exact details, but they've shifted their goal of creating super soldiers.
Then we need to find out what they're doing. I'm not sure how, but we absolutely have to. So many male lives are at stake because of the horrible Duchess. I don't care if she wants to kill the Queen. That's not even the part that sickens me. It's the idea that she thinks that these men's lives are disposable. She has to suffer for her crimes against humanity.
I have an idea. I can just sneak into her house, go through her things, find the scientist's laboratory, and then find out what their secret plan is.
No, absolutely not. If this were any other situation, dealing with any number of other aristocrats, then I'd be all for it. But the Duchess? No, no way. I'm surprised we even got away from the constable's dormitory in one piece. You saw how she was. She was like a hound dog. Somehow she knew that I was there, even if she didn't see me for herself. Hell, I would have let you sneak into Delphine's house if this were a different situation, but the Duchess? No. That house would not only be crawling with armed guards, but Edeny would be lurking around. You've all seen her power, but I've witnessed it up close for myself. The Duchess could kill you with a mere twitch of her pinky. That woman could wipe out this whole town, turn it into a steaming crater if she wanted to.
Oh, thank you for protecting me, Charles. Oh, I would have gone in there totally blind.
That's why I won't allow it. I want to find out what's going on with the Duchess and this scientist, Lucien, but I won't have any of you put your lives at risk for it.
And what are we going to do? AB asked. Put me in a hamster ball, roll me in, and let the old brainy boy take the reins for a bit? She can't hurt me. It's been scientifically proven that brains can't feel physical pain.
Right, I chuckled, rolled my eyes, and then shook my head. That'll work. You'll roll in through the front door, and then what? Do you know what'll happen, AB? One of her guards will see you, then kick you out the door like a child's rubber ball.
Then what are we going to do? I don't know this Edeny woman, but from what I've heard, she's extremely dangerous, temperamental, and secretive. How are we going to lure the truth out of her when she's already so tight-lipped about everything?
I have a plan. It will be difficult, but I think we can manage it.
What are we going to do, Charles?
The red-skinned imp woman tilted her head.
How are we going to pull this off?
I already told Daisy on the way back here. I learned a lot of things while selling elixirs and potions at the side of the road as an alchemist.
What do you mean? That sounded very ominous.
Being an alchemist is frowned upon. We all know that by now. And like most things, it's a practice that's predominantly female. A lot of people don't like it, but if you say you're an alchemist, they're still going to buy from you despite the prejudice. There are a few men that are practicing alchemists, but compared to the women, it's only a handful here and there. The female alchemists, they're cutthroat, territorial, and bloodthirsty. They will do anything and everything to have bigger and better potions than you, even if it comes at a price.
Are you suggesting that some of the female alchemists killed men? Did someone try to kill you, Charles?
No, not me. But there have been others that have lost their lives because of turf wars, but mine were never that bad. Whenever another alchemist would come onto my street, set up their tent, and sell her wares, I'd immediately move and set up shop somewhere else.
But what does this have to do with alchemy? How are we going to get this information out of the scientist?
Let me explain a little bit. You learn tricks of the trade after you spend so much time doing it. You learn new things to craft, new potions, and especially new elixirs. I mentioned that the women who were in the craft are especially cutthroat. I know this because I experienced it once. I had another alchemist come after me in my booth. More specifically, she wanted a certain recipe for one of my potions. So, not unlike how we tricked Hortensia and the courier, she forced alcohol down my throat. But little did I know, she'd mixed in a little truth serum.
Truth serum?
Simartlis Shrati, to be more specific. The most powerful truth potion in the entire world. I spilled my guts to her, revealed all of my ingredients, recipes, everything you could think of, and she ran away with it. Apparently she's very successful now, but that doesn't matter. But in a way, she gave something to me as she was stealing my whole livelihood. You see, alchemists are trained to know every ingredient they use by taste, smell, and texture. You could feed me a droplet of honey, and I could tell you how many bees gathered the nectar before it was turned to honey. That's how acute it is. So when she gave me the Simartlis Shrati, I immediately learned the recipe for it from taste, so I can easily replicate it.
You can really do that? That's so fantastic! It's almost as if you have your own power!
It really is. You could tell a recipe just from taste, smell, and touch? That's amazing, Charles. Maybe you should be the one helping me cook for everyone. You'd be able to pick apart any recipe I choose.
I guess you could say that. It's kind of like a power, but it's certainly nothing in comparison with what you and Valerie can do. I can't turn invisible or tear a man to shreds with my bare hands. I'm sure when Ryan's power manifests itself, it'll be much better than what I can do.
Oh, my powers are insignificant compared to the brilliance you hold inside that big brain of yours. When they appear, I will not be able to say that I am better than you in any way. Though I am satisfied to know that when our spawn emerges from within my body, they will be as intelligent and cunning as you are.
Yes, yes. Charles is amazing, and we all love him. But what about the plan? What does this potion have to do with this pompous scientist? What's his name? Lucian?
The Duchess is coming to Josephine's masquerade, I explained. It's the social event of the year. Josephine told us she hadn't held a ball in years, and this is the first so far. Everyone is going, the entire town. And of course, as the Duchess of Edenheart, Edeny will be there too.
I saw her at the tailor's. She was picking up her costume and a suit for Lucian to wear.
Good. Then we know for sure that he's coming. We're going to spike his drink. One of you, preferably not Daisy, because they both know who she is, will take the drink over to him, serve it to him, and then leave. He will drink the potion, I'll whisk him away to a dark corner or another room of Josephine's manor, and then question him about everything that he and Edeny are working on.
What if the Duchess suspects us, or questions us as we're taking the drink over to them?
She won't. It's a party. She's going to be distracted. I dealt with her once at a ball, and she could barely string a full sentence together while we spoke because she was more worried about those attending. This will be the only time we'll be able to slip something under her nose. We probably won't get another chance at this, and we all have Josephine to thank for it.
We get to meet Josephine for the first time. We don't have to hide or scurry out of the way. We can actually get to meet her, to talk to her, to touch her. Oh, this is so, so exciting.
The feline woman leapt off the examination table, threw herself forward into a roll, grappled onto the imp woman's leg, and climbed up onto the counter beside her. The ash blonde rested her head on Ryan's shoulder, purred loudly, and then closed her eyes with a satisfied smile.
Oh, this makes me so happy. I've wanted to meet Josephine for ages, but I couldn't because of my ears and tail. She'd know I was different from the moment she laid her eyes on me. But now we have an excuse! The costumes! The dresses! The party! Ryan, I know you haven't been around for long, but you're going to love Josephine. She's so kind, pretty, and a brute sympathizer. I went through her things while we were stationed at her mines, and I found these ancient dirty books about men and women doing it, and I knew from that moment that I wanted to be her friend.
Naughty books. Doing it? What are these words, and what are they supposed to mean?
You know.
The feline woman grinned, waggled her eyebrows, and elbowed her sister.
When
When a man and a woman become intimate, when a man puts his...
Valerie, Ryan hasn't shown an interest in such things yet.
Are you sure about that? A.B. tittered. She's been talking about it since the moment she launched herself out of Charles's machine.
Ah, I understand what you mean. When a male and female mate. The beast with two backs. Yes, I understand. Charles is my mate. I've yet to discover such a pleasure, but my loins burn with desire to breed with him every time I lay my gaze upon his perfect human form.
I better get started on concocting that serum. The party is only a few days away.
Well, don't worry, Ryan. Charles just gets embarrassed when we talk about this kind of stuff out loud. But I'm sure that very soon he's going to take your virginity and open up your eyes to a brand new world full of sensual pleasures. He did it with me, and then Daisy. So that must mean you're next.
I'm not embarrassed, I corrected, crossed to the counter and pulled out the ingredients for the serum. You three don't understand in what type of world I was raised. Men and women don't discuss such things, especially not in front of other people. I understand that I've, deflowered two of you, but it isn't proper to discuss such things in front of each other.
Oh, Charles, you did more than just deflower us. You ruined us for all other men. I never thought about another male, and I never will, not after you.
That's wonderful of you to say, but... I spoke, but Daisy's soothing voice interrupted me.
Think of it this way, Charles. We've never lived in another world except for the one you create for us. Yes, you say it's improper and inappropriate to speak about it, but we've never lived in a world where it was. You've been open with us about everything. You've taught us so much. But what you can't teach us are the rules of your world. We didn't grow up with them ingrained in our minds. Not only that, Charles... But you've also lived in a world where it's unacceptable to love a man with body and soul, and we've never known that. Yes, maybe from our memories from before, but that's not who we are as people now. We speak about these things because we love them, and we enjoy doing them. We don't have the weight of your world on our shoulders when the words slip from our lips. So maybe don't silence us. We like what we like, and we want you to hear our opinions.
Yes, I've yet to mate with Charles, but I agree. You may be uncomfortable with the speech, but aren't you a bit happy learning that we enjoy when you take private time with us? Valerie speaks of it often, and it's not because of what the two of you do together, but how you make her feel during it. It's not about physical connection, it's about the emotional one. You make us feel cared for and loved. That's all that matters.
I let my hands drop to my sides and inclined my head to them, but I couldn't stop the smile as it spread over my lips. It was true, I was uncomfortable speaking about it because it was something that didn't happen in normal society. But all three of them made good points. As Ryan said, it wasn't about the physical connection. I protected them, loved them with all of my heart, and took care of them. That's all that really mattered to them. I will work on it. Thank you for explaining your reasoning to me. It's helped me better understand why you bring it up so often.
And I hope to partake in it as soon as possible. I wish to know the pleasures, carnal or not, that Daisy and Valerie speak of. In the impdom, when males and females mated, the female often ate the male afterwards to give her the strength to lay the eggs.
Surely, that's a custom we can dispense with now, I chuckled.
Yes, of course. Your pantry appears sufficiently stocked to avoid anything like that being necessary.
I chuckled, shook my head, grabbed the ingredients from the counter, and then brought them over to the examination table. I concentrated on creating the serum, but I couldn't help it when my mind started to wander. Usually I waited until my women were ready for me to take their virginity. Valerie had been the first, and then Daisy. Though the brunette had taken longer than expected, it was her right to choose. Ryan was totally different from both of them. The imp woman had expressed her sexual interest in me immediately after she'd emerged from inside of my machine. I hadn't expected it at all. In fact, I thought it'd be the exact opposite since Daisy hadn't expressed any interest until the literal day I'd taken her as my woman. I licked my lips, glanced over my shoulder, and connected with Ryan's heavy, heated gaze. Her eyes wandered over me hungrily, her lips parted, and her long tongue snaked out to lick at her cherry-red lips. It was going to happen soon, I already knew it. Hell, I knew it from the moment I laid my eyes upon her. All of my women were gorgeous, but in different ways. That made me admire them even more. Valerie was playful, almost like a curious kitten. Daisy was astute and soft-spoken, and Ryan was all leg. The imp woman was tall, her legs taut with lean muscles that shifted under her skin lustrously, and even as she leaned against the counter, she was taller than both Valerie and Daisy. The red-skinned woman tilted her head back, her glossy black hair created a curtain over her shoulder, opened her lips, and sighed softly under her breath. Yes, it was going to happen very soon. And if it were up to Ryan, it would happen right here on the examination table with her sisters watching. Not that they would care. Valerie and Daisy would probably cheer us on. And if I were being completely honest, the only one who would probably protest would be A.B., though I doubted if it would be very much.
So, how do you make the smartless Shrati?
Daisy asked, shuffled closer, and hung over my shoulder. The bear girl seemed to sense the need within me. Maybe it was our emotional connection or the fact that she shared a minuscule amount of blood, but she felt the beast awaken from within me. The brunette placed a hand on my shoulder, glanced over at her sisters, smiled pointedly at Ryan, and then turned back to me.
Is it difficult? Or do you think that any one of us could do it?
Alchemy isn't too difficult, but there are so many recipes out there, and if you change the ingredients by even the smallest amount, you'll get different results. That's why the female alchemist's potion worked so well on me. She'd perfected it to the point where I couldn't refuse her questions. I could barely sit up straight. It does take some skill, I have to admit, but it's one of the reasons I strive to become a scientist and a doctor. Without those skills, I don't think I would have made it this far.
So, what all goes into it? A bunch of liquids and powders?
Well, yes, but it's more than that. You can't just throw a bunch of stuff together and call it a potion. It contains ethanol, which is a somewhat simple alcohol mixture.
Alcohol? So, can we drink it and get drunk?
No, it wouldn't be safe at all. So, then I'll add in some benzylate, which stays stable in its solvent form. And then I'll add a splash of midazolam, a few sprinkles of sodium thiopental.
Non-sciency language, please.
Well, sorry to disappoint you, but all of those were the proper names. I have no other languages to explain this in.
Ah, well, never mind then. Carry on.
Thank you. Since the ethanol is a liquid, we use it as our base, and then add everything else in.
Is it like cooking? Like how you have to combine wet ingredients and dry ingredients? Or does it matter when things go in?
Very good question, my dear. It depends on the recipe. I had to try this one out a few times before I got it completely right. Ethanol comes first, as I said. It's the base that we're building off of. Next comes all of the other liquid ingredients, and then come the dry ones. We add all of them to a Florence flask, stir gently by swirling it, and then heat it over a blue flame for exactly 5 minutes until it bubbles. Once I'm finished, it'll be less watery, and I'll place it in a tiny vial, take it with me, and then pour it into the scientist's drink.
And then, bam, boom, bang, the truth comes out?
Maybe not the exact words I'd use, but yes, the moment the serum touches his lips, it'll start working. It'll be almost as if a witch has put a curse on him, and his tongue'll keep wagging.
Witches? You never told us there were witches in this city.
No, not that I know of, at least. I know that the world used to be overrun with them, but they died out a long time ago, and they're not the storybook witches that I know you're imagining.
Oh, thank goodness! I don't think I could handle meeting a witch.
No, not unless they've made a comeback. And if anything, they were close to being something like alchemists, unless you met one from the days of old. They mainly concocted potions, talismans for protection, and things like that. They weren't out in the wild putting hexes on people and burning barns down.
You hold so much information in that head of yours, Charles. Sometimes I wonder if I will ever grow to know as many things as you do, or if you will continue to outlearn me.
I wouldn't say that. I only know these things because I read a lot of books. Most of them are in the library right now, or down at the public one in the middle of the city. I wasn't born with all of this knowledge. I struggled for a long time to become the man I am today, and I'm willing to admit that I'm proud of myself. If you'd met me when I was still nothing more than an alchemist, peddling my wares on the street, I doubt you would feel the same.
Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. If you weren't the man you are today, we wouldn't exist.
I don't think that's what Charles means, Valerie. What he's trying to say is, if we existed somehow on the same realm without the help of his brilliant machine, we wouldn't find him as attractive as we do now.
Well, that's still not true!
I have to agree with Valerie. Even if we were in this alternative universe where none of us knew each other, I would still feel the same about you. There are times, I don't know, when I'm upstairs in the library, and I utterly forget where I am or who I am, and you walk past, and it's like seeing a man for the very first time. Your eyes are so beautiful, such a deep green color, but your kindness and felicity shine through them. When I look into your face, I can tell what type of person you are. And I'm certain that if I were to have met you out on the street, I would have felt the very same.
I agree with my sisters. It makes no difference to me how we met or our current situation. If I were the woman I am today and I met you, the handsomest of all alchemists, out on the street, I would beg for you to mate with me, just like animals in a back alley for all I care. But that is what I know for sure. If I wasn't who I am, I would still know in my soul that you are the only man for me.
I breathed a deep, comfortable sigh, set down the flask in my hand, nodded, and then turned around to face all three of them. Each woman's face glowed with happiness, their eyes glittered contentedly, and they reached out at me with open arms. I folded myself into their embrace, felt their warmth, and shut my eyes for a second as I breathed in each of their natural scents. Oh, all of you know that I love you very much, but I worry that the opposition to us in this world will be too much, and these happy times will come to an end.
There is no need for you to worry. No enemy will stand in our way, Charles. All of us are here because we want to be. In this world, full of its female freedom and powers, do you think we're not prepared to fight if an adversary comes along? Not to make light of it, but we are three very powerful women in different ways, and despite being a healthy, viable mate, you are still a man. Not that we want to do any of those things. We wish to stay with you for the rest of our lives. We want to mate with you and carry your offspring.
With all of us pressed up against each other, Ryan's hand shifted in between my legs and caressed my member through the fabric of my trousers. Her fingers were tentative at first, but as I fought the groans bubbling in my throat, she took my penis fully into her hand. I no longer had to wonder when I would take Ryan's virginity. It was clear that it was going to happen today, maybe within a few minutes of getting me alone, and I couldn't help but be excited. I'd been ready to fill her with my seed the moment she stepped out of my machine, and now it was finally time.